Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online. This week in your house church, you will watch a video in which you will get to meet a young woman, a very successful woman, by the way. Her name is MJ, and you will hear the following words. You're going to learn about what happened to MJ. MJ, at the time of the recording of the video, she was a 24-year-old, very successful, entrepreneurial fashion designer. She has passion for fashion, and she was very, very good at it. She started her own company. She was the owner, the CEO, and you name it. And she was making a ton of money. And I quote, she said, "At the age of 24, I was making more money than my parents put together." She was very successful. She was traveling the world. She was going to Bombay, London, all the happening places in the world. And she was indeed happening, if you know what I mean. Everybody began inviting her to events, to fashion shows, to clubs. She was very, very popular. In fact, she said, "I had everything that the world could have offered. Successful, attractive, rich, wealthy, and famous." You might label her as, listen to this, you might call her as a self-reliant person. She made it work. She arrived there. She was a self-made woman. But then you will hear her say the following things. Then she got into, this is her own words, she says, and I quote, "I got into this pattern of life in which I did not want people to call me out on, like how she spent money, like her affairs with men, how she drank and ate, how she consumed food." She said, "I didn't want people to call me out on that. I didn't want people to hold me accountable." She said, "It felt good at the moment, and yet she felt lonely and depressed." Let me repeat that. She felt, it felt good for a moment, but it didn't last. She was overwhelmed with sense of loneliness and depression. And then she asked the question, "God, why do I feel this way?" She had everything any 24-year-old person would have asked for. Fame, fortune, popularity, looks, she had it all. And yet, there she was, feeling lonely and depressed. Did you remember how I described her? A self-reliant woman? Okay. Now, this is a huge idea. This idea that you, the world tells you, the pattern of this world will tell you, the values of this world is trying to convince you, be your own person. You don't need others. You can't rely on others. You can't depend on others. You gotta depend on yourself. You got to make it work. It's all up to you. Let me quote in the in Invictus by William Ernest Henley, the famous words, "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Can you relate to this? You're saying, "No, not really. I'm not successful. I'm not wealthy. I'm not famous. I'm not good looking." Here's the point. She had everything this world could have offered, and she still felt lonely and depressed. The point is, she felt stuck just like you. Whether you are successful or not, whether you are wealthy or not, whether you are good looking or not, whether you are famous or not, people feel stuck. You look at yourself in the mirror at least twice a day, I hope, because I want you to wash your face twice a day, brush your teeth twice a day, floss, don't forget to floss your teeth twice a day. But when you look at yourself, how do you feel? Do you like what you see? Do you want to remain the person that you see in the mirror? I don't feel that way often. And that's because both you and I, everyone, we feel stuck. We want to be changed. We need the power to change, and we don't know how to be changed or how to get there. Friends, again, one of the problems is this pattern of this world, what the age, the spirit of this age is brainwashing you. Be self-reliant. Don't depend on others. You got to make it on your own. Don't ask for help. Be strong, be strong, be strong, right? So what's the remedy? What's the remedy for being changed? We're in this series called The Power to Change. We all feel stuck. We want to be changed, transformed, that's a better word, but we don't know how to be that person. And the answer that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the remedy that He is giving you is, in a word, community. Community. So let me take you there. But before I do that, would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, would you do your supernatural thing in us? Do that naturally. That is to say, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. That's the natural phenomenon. But you are doing all those, which makes it supernatural. Do all this to the glory of God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Come with me to Book of Romans, chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Would you read verse 2 with me in one voice? 1, 2, 3. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thank you. Let me read verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Would you read verse 12 and 13 with me? Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, the theme and the goal, would you please write these words by using the sermon outline, which you can download from our website. The Holy Spirit is empowering you to be transformed in the community. One more time. Let's read that together. The Holy Spirit is empowering you to be transformed in the community. Let's look at verse 2. The Apostle Paul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, declares, instructs, commands you and me, what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know that word, transformation? In Greek, it's metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's not becoming a better creature, it's becoming a new creature. In the words of C.S. Lewis, Jesus is not about training a horse to jump higher. Jesus, what he does in the power of the Holy Spirit is making the horse fly. It's turning this creature, this me, this old nature person, old person living in the flesh, become transformed, a different person, different creation. Would you write these words too in the next blank? Transformation, which is synonymous with sanctification, I'll get to that, is 100% work of the Holy Spirit and 100% your partnership in an ongoing journey. Remember, it's who's doing the action? The Holy Spirit is empowering you at the same time. Who is partnering with the Holy Spirit? 100%. How much? 10%? 50%? How about 75%? No. It's 100% your participation with the Holy Spirit. Be transformed in the community. Let's parse that. First, this verse is so pregnant with theological nuances. First, it's a command and imperative. Be transformed. The Holy Spirit is not asking you. He's not suggesting to you. He's not even recommending to you. He's saying, do it, imperative, obey this. As in, son, don't touch the stove, you're going to burn your finger. That's imperative, it's command, it's for my own good. And the Holy Spirit, with all the authority of Jesus Christ, says, Victor, John, whoever you are, be transformed. Command and imperative. Second nuance, it's in the passive voice, not active voice. He doesn't say, Victor, transform yourself. Victor, do this in your... No, it says, be transformed. When it's passive voice, it means you, the subject, is receiving the action from the Holy Spirit. Be transformed. The Holy Spirit is doing the action of transforming 100%, but you are partnering how much? 100%, because it is up to you. Your partnership matters. It's in the passive voice, be transformed. Third nuance is this, present tense. In Greek, you don't see this, but in Greek, you will see it. It's an ongoing, be transformed and keep going on being transformed. It's not an event. Sanctification, transformation, is a lifelong journey. And this is why you need not be discouraged at the lack of sanctification, lack of change, or the slow pace at which you are being transformed. Sometimes that transformation can just take off. Other times it dips. Other times it's a plateau. But slowly, eventually, it is always going towards one direction, which is looking, becoming more like Christ. So let's get there. What does this transformation look like? What does this transformation look like? There are three stages, write these words. The first stage is justification. Second stage, sanctification. Third stage, glorification. Okay, again. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. What does justification mean? It means you are justified by the works of Jesus Christ and you receive His righteousness. You are justified. It's a language of the court in the Bible. The judge declares, you are justified. I declare. I announce and I pronounce that you are no longer guilty. You are justified to go free. You are justified to be declared free. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross. And when He rose from the dead in the empty tomb, in the resurrection, He has given you all of His righteousness. So His holiness, His credit, all of that has been bestowed upon you. I like to say it this way. On the crucifixion, He took away your sins. And in the resurrection, He bestowed His righteousness. That's justification. And when you read the book of Romans, from chapter 1 through 11, it's all about justification. This is what Christ has done, and this is who you were. You were dead in your transgressions, but now you are made alive in the person and the works of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, the good news. You are justified as a child of God. Now, chapter 12 starts the sanctification. Therefore, the Apostle Paul starts with the word, therefore, since Christ has justified you in His crucifixion and His resurrection, and therefore, now starts your sanctification. Be transformed. Sanctification, you are being transformed, becoming more like Jesus in your values. They look like Jesus' values. In your decision-making process, how you make important decisions, you would do that just like how Jesus would do. In your behavior, in your character, you become just like Jesus. And that is the journey, which is ongoing, of sanctification. And what's the third? First is what? Justification. Second, sanctification. Third is glorification. You will be like Jesus Christ in His glory. One day, when you depart this world and when you meet Jesus Christ face to face, you will be just like Him in His glory. That's glorification. And all those three stages depict what salvation means. Listen to me, everyone. Salvation is not only justification. Salvation includes justification, sanctification, and glorification. You are saved by the justification, but the work of the Holy Spirit continues on through sanctification and all the way to glorification. So, back to the text. The Holy Spirit is empowering you to be transformed, both the imperative and passive voice, what? In the definite article, the community. Not in any community, not in a generic sense of community, but in the community. We're talking about the body of Christ. So, let me offer you three ways how we are being transformed. Number one, write this. Be transformed by not conforming to the pattern of self-reliance. We talked about this, but let me elaborate. Let's take a look at verse 2. It says, the Holy Spirit, in the words of the Apostle Paul, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. God's will is that you become like Christ. God's ultimate will is not you go to heaven. Because if that were the case, what are you doing here? Why are you still here? God's ultimate purpose is that as you are on this journey of being sanctified in this world, you become like Christ as you partner with the Holy Spirit. And yet, the pattern of this world, I'm going to focus on just one. The world says, the spirit of this age says, be self-reliant. The first person who introduced this idea was Friedrich Nietzsche, the great German philosopher. He was one of the greatest thinkers of our modern world, in human history, really. He said, imagine the world in which there is no God. In his own words, he says, let's kill God. Let's remove Him from our vocabulary, from our lifestyle, how we live, how we make decisions, how to explain the meaning, purpose of life. Remove God. In his own expression, he said, now that we kill God, meaning God is no longer there, okay, because we killed him. That we removed him. How then should we live? Well, it's up to you now. Prior to Nietzsche, God blessed humans how they should live. But now that we kill God, how should we live? It's up to you. You become your own God. You rely not on God, because He's not there anymore. You rely on yourself. You don't rely on others. You become the best person that you can be. And these expressions are cascaded down through other thinkers and influencers like Emerson. He said, don't let anyone tell you who you are. The only person you could be is decided by you. It's all up to you. Okay? You're not convinced? You're not convinced? Well, can I try Frank Sinatra? You like Frank? Here. He sang. And now the end is here. And so I face that final curtain. My friend, I will make it clear. I will state my case, of which I am certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each day every highway. And more, much more. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. Not to say the things that he truly feels, not the words of someone who kneels. Let the record show I took all the blows and did it my way. Did you hear that? That voice, the spirit and the sentiment of you become a self-reliant person. Don't depend on God, because we killed him. He's not there. And certainly don't rely, depend on others. You want to be something? You make it happen. What was that? You've never heard of Frank Sinatra? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was so outdated. What about Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel? They sang, you know, a song called I Am a Rock. A winter's day, in a deep and dark December, I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock. I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pains. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I'm a rock. I'm an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one, and no one touches me. I'm a rock. I'm an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. That captures the spirit of self-reliance. Don't become weak. You gotta be strong. Why? Because it's all up to you. You have to become a self-reliant person. Look at this all the time. Be strong. Don't show weakness. When you show weakness, when you display signs of vulnerability, that means you are weak. So you hear from the pattern of this world. On the playground, I remember observing this parent, father, when his five-year-old son came down the slide and he fell off, hit the ground, and he began to cry. And father came, picked him up, and you know what he said? Wiping the tears of his sons, he said, son, it's okay. Boys don't cry. Now, we all get this brainwashing thing in our heads. Every one of us, okay? But men in particular, I think we got it harder. Because the pattern of this world says, do not show vulnerability. Don't ask for help. You may help others, because they will make you look strong. People think you are a self-reliant person. You did it your way. You got it made. You are a rock and an island. No one hurts you. But don't ask for help. Don't become vulnerable. But instead, be strong. And yet, that is what the world is saying, and that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Do not go there. Look, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Meaning, you need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus. You want the love of God the Father. And on this side of the equation, on this earth, you need the community. So let's go there. Number two. Therefore, be transformed by belonging in the community. Would you write the word belonging? Belonging? Let's look at verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, so where? So in the body? So in the church? No. The Apostle Paul says, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Be transformed by belonging in the community. Now, let's take one step at a time. I was anticipating, says, hey, you all are many, and yet together you form one body, the body of Christ, the church. Okay? And I anticipated the Paul saying, so in the body of Christ, in church, though you are many. He doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? In what? In what? I can't hear you. In Christ. The transformation happens in Christ. And theologically speaking, that is the person of Jesus. We come to Jesus, and He is transforming us, and we are being transformed. But it happens right here on this side of the equation, on this side of earth, in this life, in Christ. And therefore, we belong with Jesus, and therefore, we belong with His body, the church. We belong in the community, the body of Christ. You see behind me, that's the picture of the face of Jesus. I think you got that. But if you looked close, it's hundreds, I think close to 1,000 small, tiny pictures. It's a collage of many tiny tiles. And each tile has a face of somebody in Mosaic House Church. Oh, no, we don't have 1,000 people here. We just multiply the same face multiple times. I'm just being honest, right? Okay? Okay? Right? But what I want you to see is this. We all together, we are many. There are many of us, but we form Christ. We belong with Jesus, and therefore we belong in the body of Christ. Look at these pictures. Maybe you recognize some of them. Maybe you see yourself. And I want you to feel, nope, the Holy Spirit would love for you to have the sense of, oh, I belong with Jesus, and therefore I belong in the community. And together we make up the body of Christ. Together we make up the face of Jesus. That is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Well, would you ask the question? Oh, okay. I think I'm tracking. But why do we need community? Why do you need community to be transformed? And the reason is, why do we need community? And that's because the answer, the Trinity. Look, I'll be quick. The Creator God, your Maker, He lives in community. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is not one person. There's one God, But in this one Godhead, there is this community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're always, always serving each other. God the Father serving the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son serving the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit serving the Father and the Son. So it's an ongoing, never-ending, beautiful dance of belonging in the community. So here, why do you need community to be transformed? Because you are made in the image of God. I don't have time to go here, but you need the Trinity to be transformed. And to be transformed means that that is being done in the community. Number three, be transformed by serving the community. Would you write the word serving? And we see this all the time in verses 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it, lead it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Friends, the Holy Spirit has given you a unique spiritual gift. You didn't ask for them. They were given to you as an expression of the grace of Jesus Christ. And this is how you know that you are justified. And this is how you know that you're being sanctified. How? You serve the body of Christ. The spiritual gifts were given not for your self-fulfillment. May I repeat that nicely? The spiritual gifts were not given to you for your own personal, individualized, privatized fulfillment. I say that with a smile. It's not! It was given for the common good of the body of Jesus Christ. Meaning, if I've received the gift of teaching and preaching and I pray to the Lord that I have, and if I haven't, I'm just making this really painful for you. Am I? Ain't I? Okay? But if I don't use this, who's hurting? The body of Jesus. The gift was given not for me, but for you, for the body. And this is why serving is so important for us to be transformed. Let me make it better. I told you, haven't I, that glorification, sanctification is all about becoming more like whom? Like whom? Like who? Who? Jesus Christ. He said, I have come not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. When you serve your spiritual gifts, you are becoming like Christ in your values, in your decision-making process, and in your lifestyle. Fourth, be transformed by loving the community. Verses 9 through 11. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. That word love keeps appearing, right? Honor one another. Oh, one another phrase keeps appearing too. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Love must be sincere. You are being transformed by loving the community. Love must be sincere. Meaning, when you serve others, when you serve the body of Christ, when you belong to the body, the motivation, which is love, must be sincere. Meaning, you want to do it not out of guilt or shame. We addressed that last week by Pastor Ann. There's no guilt or shame, but we do it out of joy and gratitude and out of this inexpressible sense of love. I'm serving you because I love you. You are serving us because you love us. And our love, one another, is because it's an expression of the love of Christ living in us. And that's why loving the community transforms us. Love, not guilt. Let me just land a plane by offering you three applications. Okay? Three applications. Because we are so many, and since we are at different phases and we are moving at different paces, let me offer three different applications. Number one, crawl. Number two, walk. And number three, run. Number one, crawl. Belong in a house church. Belong in a community. Community that's formed by the Holy Spirit. Community that is expressing the love of Jesus Christ, the serving of Jesus Christ in various forms. And one best way, one way is, one context is in a house church. I know you are worshiping, not watching the sermon. You're not consuming this. This is different than you watching Netflix, right? You are worshiping Jesus on this platform. And yet, the Holy Spirit says, hey, this online thing was meant to be a temporary measure during the COVID. And now the Holy Spirit is saying, be in the community live in person. And that's why that is the best form of belonging. Online, live stream, was never meant to be a permanent solution of the Holy Spirit for us. So, crawl, application. Find a biblically functioning community near you. If Mosaic House Church is too far, find a church home near you. You, the Holy Spirit says, belong in a house church or in-person gathering. Number two, walk. Some of you, you've been crawling, and you got to graduate from crawling, and you got to get up and start what? Walking. How? By serving in the community. Serving in the community. Our house churches and Mosaic House, we are encouraged to go outside of house church and to serve the neighborhood, the serve the marginalized, show acts of compassion and kindness and generosity to the city of Edmonton and beyond. We engage in serve projects. Another great way is, the Apostle Paul ended by saying, hey, practice hospitality. Share with those people. One great way is not only just doing the service or doing the work, but doing the work with other people, right? So one really good example is Table of Fellowship. Every Sunday, we gather together here in person, live, in flesh, and a Table of Fellowship team every week serves a light lunch. It's the form of serving. It's the form of loving. It's the form of hospitality. So serve in the community. Find out the passion God has given you, the passion the Holy Spirit has given you. Look, I'm just being honest, in all transparency. You don't want me to teach in the kids' house or the baby house or in the children's ministry. You know why I shouldn't? I don't like kids. I like grown-ups. I like you guys. So serve in the area where the Holy Spirit has given you both interest, passion, and giftness. Right? You got to find it out and start serve in the community. Third, run. Some of you, you've been crawling, you stood up, and you have been walking, and now it's time for you to run. Run. How? Disciple somebody to belong in the community. Invite. Model. Have them enfold into a community. That's what it means to run. And that will be an avenue, a vehicle through which the Holy Spirit will empower you and the vehicle through which you'll be transformed in the community. Let's review the theme and the goal. The Holy Spirit is empowering you to be transformed in the community. Number one, be transformed by not conforming to the pattern of self-reliance. Number two, be transformed by belonging in the community. And number three, be transformed by serving the community. And number four, be transformed by loving the community. Let me close it with MJ's story. So you know what happened to her? She felt stuck. She didn't like whom she was seeing in the mirror. And she asked God, God, I have all these things. I should be happy, but I'm not. I'm feeling lonely and lost and confused and depressed. So she said this prayer, God, help me. She cried out and she felt the Holy Spirit nudging her, saying, go find a church home nearby. So she does. And not only that, she found a Christian community, but she was afraid. She was afraid, will people find out who I am really like on the inside? That I have this inconsistency. Will they find me godly enough? Will they find me good enough to be in a Christian community? She had all these questions. Her turning point. So she found a church home and she began serving in the ministries. And she began belonging in a community group, like a house church, like a small group. And that began to change her. Her sense of belonging in this community group kept her from being distracted by the pattern of the world and kept her closer to the Lord. In that group, she stopped being self-reliant. And she began asking for counsel, wisdom, and advice. Hey, I'm going on this trip. Hey, would you hold me accountable as to how I spend my money? Hey, would you encourage me about my affairs with men in general, but also in specific? She felt both accepted and loved. And she felt this was very enriching. Okay? And not only for the accountability she was receiving, but she wanted to give back to the community. She said, hey, I am so blessed. I am being transformed. I am being changed. And I don't want to just hoard it to all myself. And I want to give it back. I want to bless others and share with others what God is doing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the gift of the community, the body of Christ, in different expressions. I pray that we partner with the Holy Spirit now. Transformation is not only possible, it must occur, it must happen, so that we know that we have been justified because we are being sanctified. We give you all the glory now. In the name of Christ, amen.